Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor, here on a Monday morning.
Hot.
We don't mean to whine, but we're going to whine. It's 86 degrees in our studio.
It's warmer in our studio than it is outside.
16 degrees warmer.
And no air, so that we don't have like a fan here.
I wish you could open a window.
I know, and there's no windows that can open.
I think it'd be fun to have this studio, just like that. Remember the bar we stopped in after that event we went to just watch the end of that basketball game?
Yeah.
Where the whole front windows.
Right.
Wouldn't that be cool to have?
That's.
There could be with the people right in the street. They
call
could say
Sage,
hello.
We could open up these windows.
Yeah, like I think that would be awesome.
We've got a great view, but.
Yeah,
it is warm.
It is warm.
Todd said go outside, cool off a little bit. In the break.
So how's your personal trainer workout going?
Well, I tell you, first of all, kudos to my personal trainer, who's now off for a few weeks. Had a baby boy on Saturday.
Okay, nice.
So
congratulations.
I know, I was very happy for him. So that's all good.
Yeah.
So I got a different guy that I'm seeing. It's hard.
I know.
So I'm trying. You know how we're talking with Kathy, and well, we talk about this. I don't know ad nauseum, but we do talk about losing weight. It's the nutrition and the exercise, right?
Yeah.
It's a combination. So the nutrition thing I tried this weekend. The no carbs, Kathy was big on that Coach Kathy. So just a lot of salmon, shrimp, tomatoes, garlic, onions, all that kind of stuff.
You know, we got to talk to a guy here who once lost, I think, 40 pounds.
He looks great.
From work. Teddy?
Yes, sir.
Ted Stefaniak is joining us.
That's a long time ago.
I know, but I'm just saying, I still remember that.
It's not all back, is it?
We showed up. He's a big beer guy. He's a connoisseur.
It's back and better.
Teddy will tell you about all the good Pilsner beers in Wisconsin. And he makes, this is no lie. You know what you were talking the other day, Jim, about making your own beer?
Craft brew.
Ted makes some, and it was this past year, he gave me a couple bottles. And it was as good. It was that Pilsner you made, Ted. That was as good as any beer you'd go to any, you know, the new brew places or anything like that. How did you make that one so good?
But it's a kit. It really is.
Just follow the directions, huh?
You follow the directions, and it's amazing how much you do have to follow the directions when you're brewing beer. When we first started out, you know, we may have had a couple of beers while we were doing it and didn't necessarily pay attention to the temperatures and things like that they suggest you follow. And, you know, chemistry, you know, who knew?
But do you grow your own hops still?
We sure, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Good year this year, too.
Well, that's what I mean. Does that factor in? I was going to ask that. You know, do you, like with wine, it's, this was a good year because of
grapes.
The grapes or whatever the reason the temperature was or whatever. Is it like that with hops and making beer?
I would have to think so. From a hop perspective, we had such a cool and rainy spring and beginning of the summer. And when you look at most of the larger hop fields in the country, you know, up in Washington and places like that, where it is, you know, the temperature, the weather is like that, cool and rainy. So, you know, I think that certainly helped. The hops that I'm growing this year are as long as they've ever been, and some of the cones look like they're ready to go. And typically we harvest them, you know, the first week of September. I think we might be harvesting a little bit earlier this year.
I didn't know you grew your own hops. That's interesting. So is it a garden area or is it just one of these stand up?
I think it's on his house, isn't it, Ted?
Yeah, it's supposed to go straight up, but I've got, you know, just a couple of plants by my house.
I just do it as
a hobby. And I run it out kind of like a clothesline. I don't have a telephone pole or anything in the middle of my yard that I can grow it straight up. But, yeah, you go to some of these hop fields, and you see basically it looks like telephone poles spread out throughout the property, and they're growing straight up.
Well, I've seen them on the side of people's houses, too.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. They're a fun plant. I mean, you cut them down to the ground after you harvest them, And then they pop back up. They're one of the first things that pop up in the spring, and they grow a couple inches a day.
Wow.
So, I mean, I've got my vines are over 20 feet right now.
Wow. Well, that's all right. I got to believe I'm with you on that. I'm sure different weather makes different quality. I mean, just as with about everything, right? Corn, strawberries, cherries, everything. So you're going to harvest this in, we said maybe end of August, a little earlier this year than last year. How long does it take till you have the cold brew? Is that one of these things that's got to ferment for months, weeks, years?
Weeks, typically. About 4 weeks or so. And usually a little longer you let it sit, the better it turns out. It depends also what you're
so
I mean, it's just a fun little hobby.
Knowing you, the sports like mine, it should be ready by the Titans game.
Yeah. He doesn't give us a date. Yeah. He just gives us the game.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, for Teddy, sure by Miami.
Let's talk about football, of course. Did you work the game there? Because Ted works Packer games. Did you work the family night, Ted?
I did. Okay. The cameras for Tundra Vision, the Jumbotron there. So, yeah, I've been doing that for few years, and yeah, it was what a night. I don't know if you guys made it out there at all, but just an electric night, great crowd. I thought the Packers did a really nice job. The energy was great all night.
Isn't that super for kids? You know, because like we were talking, at $200 a pop, chances are some 9-year-old kid isn't going to go to the Vikings game, you know, at Lambeau Field. So for something like this, for them to at least experience the excitement of being inside that stadium with the lights on and that whole thing, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it was packed with kids, and that was fun to see. And of course, a lot of the energy driven by those kids out there. So yeah, no, just a fun night. And were you guys there at all?
No.
They had a couple of they had youth football from Waupun.
Todd there. Was talking about that. Yeah, go ahead.
And then, you know, they do their thing where they're playing, you know, a scrimmage before the game, but then during the scrimmages. Like during punting practice, they brought a couple of kids out to try to catch the punts from the machines. And Rich Bisaccia was out there coaching them up. And not only did the kids have to catch them, but then the Packer players were also having a contest. How many balls can you hold on to as you caught each punt?
That's what Jim was talking about.
Yeah, that looked fun. I mean, it was entertaining, if nothing else. Yeah, it looked. What was the record?
The players all surrounded them.
That's cool.
Yeah, that
was really fun.
You know, that's, and you talk about energy and the kids' night. The front page of the paper today is just pictures of family night, and they all include kids. It's just, it just looked like a high energy evening. Yeah, that's great. I think it's great the Packers do this too. I don't know how much it cost, but I think anything's cheaper than that.
But nobody, everybody, other teams have tried something like this, and I think they've just given up on it because it kind of flops. No one can do this other than Green Bay. Wouldn't you agree, Ted?
And sell it out.
80,000, 81,000 or whatever. That's my
The suites were sold out. Up by me, the suites were all sold out.
No kidding. So. Unbelievable. Yeah. Wow.
But that's a fun night.
You used to shoot the camera on the sidelines for a lot of years in some of those like 13 below. Yeah. What would you rather? Were you shooting the games now up above and you have like half the field or whatever or down in the field?
You know, I always liked shooting the game, you know, being down there. Yeah. I mean, you did that too. I mean, there's nothing like being on the field and, you know, hopefully not getting hit by those guys.
Right.
When you're down on that field, television doesn't do it justice how fast and how powerful these guys are and how hard they're hitting.
That's two things I've always said. Auto racing and football, you got to be up close to it sometime to really understand how vicious those two sports are. You know what I mean? It's mind-boggling.
To appreciate the speed.
Yeah. Yes.
It is. It's
and
different.
The hitting is just crazy.
You can hear it. I mean, if you hear it on TV, but man, you're down there. Yeah. You're right. It is. And I'll give you the racing, too. They look fast on camera, but man, when you're
to Elkhart Lake sometime.
Just any of those, it's like, wow.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Have you guys ever done any of those driving schools, like the Richard Petty driving schools?
Down in Indianapolis, I did. I drove.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I haven't. Have you said?
I have. I did one in Chicago years ago, and I was the slowest guy on the track, and I thought, I don't have to do this again.
I don't know if that was.
It's amazing. You know, you talk about the power of those those cars. I mean, they put you in a NASCAR, and depending on what package you get, yeah, you can be in there by yourself. And the first thing they tell you, they get you up by the wall, they stop you, and they go, "This wall will never jump out at you. Get up on it."
Well, I used to race. Remember, you weren't here, Ty. For 2 years, I used to race Lindy Infante at WIR.
Okay.
And that put it for a fun thing. It was always a fun event. And and when you're in there and you're going, you feel like you're, "Oh, my God, I'm flying around this thing." And people are always like, "Mino.
Come on,
step on it.
The long one on the right.
God, are you slow?" But when you're in there, yeah. No, your daughter has done that, right, Ted?
Yeah, she's done some powder puff out at WIR. So, yeah, she might be done now. But
those are, it's still, and I agree that it's still a little nerve-wracking. But you go to Road America, that's not an oval track.
When you stand on the photo deck,
right.
Ted, you ever stand on the photo deck where they come right underneath you with the Indy cars?
Right.
Beyond belief.
Yeah, that's a cool place. Yeah.
Beyond belief. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that takes more courage.
My son-in-law is still doing it out at WIR, so shout out to the Cioli racing team.
Well, that's one of the most legendary names in Northeast Wisconsin racing history, isn't it?
Yeah, Jordan's trying to keep it going.
How old was his grandfather when he stopped?
Oh, gosh, I don't know that, but Stan the Man was going quite late in life.
Yeah.
He was he was still out.
I'll tell you, me and Ted had lots of fun when we were doing the dirt track races at 141 Speedway.
Oh, that's a good place.
That was fun, wasn't it, Ted? We didn't know much of what was going on. We had Joe Vertigan who'd help us out, but it was just a fun atmosphere, fun place to go.
Well,
I enjoyed that.
And great food.
Phenomenal food. Greatest food ever. God, they had a great stand. They had that thing where you have the brat patty and then the cheese, then the onion, then the hamburger patty. Oh my God.
Steak?
Yes. Oh, the steak sandwiches. Oh,
was it the checkered flag?
Yes.
I could be wrong.
That would just
sound like, I think.
No, that's what it was called. It was just piled up with everything. Remember that? It was incredible.
I don't know if they still do that. Yeah.
I hope not.
Worth going back for.
Well, Teddy, when's our first high school game?
August 23rd. A little bit later this year.
Yeah, that is.
Friday, August 23rd.
Going over to Preble for the first game, which is cool.
New stadium, right?
Oshkosh West coming into town, so that'll be fun.
Be a lot of fun. Once again, Brandon did a great job putting that special together.
Absolutely, and that's going to air one more time. If you haven't seen our Sports Showdown special yet, that's going to air after the Packers preseason game this Saturday. The game on for the Packers, the preseason game this week will be on WACY TV 32 again because of the conflict with the Olympics. So,
can you stick around,
Channel
Teddy?
32.
Can you stick around for a couple more? Can you stick around for a couple more minutes?
Yeah, let's do it.
Back after this is more Ted Stefaniak. Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a Monday morning at 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS, and the Civic Media app. Joining us right now is Ted Stefaniak. Teddy, let's talk a little bit more about some high school football that's going to be coming up.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, August 23rd on WACY TV 32 Sports Showdown. We've got a new presenting sponsor this year in Bell and Health.
Nice.
And we're looking forward to a great season. Oshkosh West at Preble to start the season. And two teams we haven't seen in quite a while, John.
Long time.
It'll be excited to see those two, and I think it's going to be a competitive matchup there.
Great. And then we're talking about some of those other matchups the Kimberleys against the Bayports, and the East Depere, West Depere is going to be a fun one, and just some great rivalries. And, I like it when we have a Green Bay school against a Valley school.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. And in the first 2 weeks, like you mentioned, Kimberly, Bayport, that is week two. That's going to be on a Thursday night, August 29th. So that's a big one that you circle on your calendar. I mean, anytime Bayport's on the calendar or Kimberly, those are kind of the bigger schools, the teams that have had a lot of success over the years. But again, mixing in some of the other schools to make sure we see them. Looking forward to see what Kekana can do after their terrific season last year, kind of a breakout season last year, winning the Valley. So, a lot of great teams, a lot of great communities on WACY this year.
You know, and they kind of sell out, or they get close to selling out.
Oh,
they get the pack, and
it's packed.
I just think that this TV watching you too, and I really enjoy that because I, you know, anything that's local, I would lean a little bit more to that. But it's great when the weather's inclement to watch you guys. But I mean, it's like okay, well, right now too.
There have been some teams where it's like we're not sure we want you to televise because people stay home.
Right.
They don't stay home to watch us very often. they go to the games.
Yeah.
Hey, here's the solution. You can go to the game live, but get your app out and watch the Sports Showdown app.
There you go.
TV 32, and you can watch it. Then the replays are on a delay a little bit because of streaming. So you can actually be at the game, stream the game, and also see the replays right away.
That's too much work for me.
But, Ted, I'll
just sit at home with my pizza.
Some of those games, though, Ted, half an hour before the game, you won't find a seat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the stadiums.
They'll fill up quick, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are looking at that game in the beginning of October when you got Kimberly at Nina, two of the best teams in Division One, and Nina's, trying to figure out high school football games and predict what they're going to do and what the kids are going to do in April.
Yeah.
Much less.
Yeah.
For is always kind of a challenge. But, you know, when you look at everything on paper, it sure looks like we've got a really nice schedule this year.
Phenomenal.
They're practicing now, right? Is that August they start?
Or, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wow, yeah, they get going here at the beginning of August, and we'll get into scrimmages here pretty soon. And sure enough,
wow.
Seasons. I can't believe it's August already.
I know.
They're already getting ready for high school football.
You know, we're talking. I don't know. Your kids are getting a little bit older, but summer is not that long.
It just isn't.
It just isn't.
I know.
I mean, if you get out on June 7th, 8th, 9th, whatever, and it's like here it's August 1st when you're practicing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really July. You know, anyway, they're excited to get back on the field as we as fans are to see him back on the field.
But the thing is, though, too, Jim, like we're talking, Ted would agree with this. When you're a sportscaster in Green Bay, Wisconsin, your year ends. Your summer, everything ends the first day of training camp until the last play of the last game. Isn't that the truth, Ted?
It is, but I think it's a little different now. I know those guys still cover training camp, but it's not like the two-a-days we used to have.
Right.
You'd be up early in the morning and, yeah. But, yeah, it does shut down for the individuals in those sports departments, that's for sure.
Oh, and everybody's going to say, oh, you're whining about that. I'm not going to whine here, but, I mean, there were many days.
Not John.
We would be on the sidelines of the field at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then we'd still be doing the 10 o'clock show that night. So, I mean, you're talking about a 15-hour day on a regular basis. Remember those days, Ted?
Yeah.
No.
Wasn't it the best though?
Yeah.
When you look at, wasn't that the best?
Yeah, it was.
You know, I don't want to get melancholy, but I mean, sometimes when we talk, there's a lot of things in life where you're in the thick of it, and it's like, oh, this sucks.
Right,
this
and now is 12 looking
hours.
Back,
hey, look, we have to travel here, we got to travel there, and it's like I was talking to a friend of mine. We used to both work for the same company. We'd extensive travel, sometimes three flights a day, and just working in. But it's like, man, those were the good old days.
Yeah, absolutely. No question.
We got to look at life that way.
Like, as a sportscaster, the worst days as a TV sportscasters are the days when you wake up and it's like, oh, crap, I don't have a package. I don't have a story coming from him. He's off. I got nothing going on. Those are the worst days, okay? When the Packers were in training camp, you never had any one of those days because you got 75 potential stories you can do right staring
and
you in the face.
And they wanted to do them.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Back then they did.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth, Teddy?
It's fun.
Yeah.
It is. And you know, I always go back to the NBC 26 sports department with Brandon Kennard and John Miller. And I'm the old guy back there telling the story.
Yeah.
I'm sure they love me sitting back there. Back in my day.
Here's how we did it.
5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, sometimes I catch myself. It's like, come on. They don't want to hear this. Because you know, we have in this industry, this radio, we had interns that help us out or new people. And, you know, and sometimes. I get, well, when I was your age, but they don't want to hear that. They do not want to hear that. So,
well, Teddy, I got to ask this because you wear about 8 different hats in your career over there at NBC 26. How are things going if somebody wanted to advertise on Showdown?
Yeah, give us a call over at NBC 26, 920-494-2626, 494-2626, NBC 26, and we can get you set up. A lot of great packages and different things we can do to get you involved in helping to support our broadcast and keep these games, you know, broadcasting these local community games.
Outstanding. Outstanding. And you know, another group we have to give credit to, though, is the crew, Ted. We always talk about, oh, boy, that was a tough game or a long game, or, boy, it was chilly in the press box. And there are these poor people. We're done. We're getting in Teddy's car. And they're out there winding up cables, and it's wind chill about 8 below, and they're there for like 2 more hours than we are, and we're the ones that complain, and they don't. So we got to give them all the credit in the world, huh, Ted?
Well, you give them a shout-out, and I'm not sure if this is the time to bring up, hey, we're still looking for crew. That wasn't a very good sales job there, John.
No, that was not.
So, call this number. You, too, can be out there.
You ever have a hankering to get into TV?
Go on, John. We'll be here for a while.
Freezing, winding up cords 2 hours after everybody's home in bed.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
What's the number again?
I bring him sub sandwiches once a year, though. Right, Ted?
All right.
I bring him subs once a year.
John.
Yes.
I'm sitting in here going, I'm going to sign up for that.
Crew, and if you're interested in being on a sports production crew, it's not all that bad.
But Lionel won't be there to help.
No, I will.
Talk about you the next morning.
All right, whatever.
But Teddy, I think the reason I think it's so important that we continue, sometimes people think the youth isn't doing great or the city's not going the right way or, you know, and you guys, not only do they play good football, you sometimes give a shout out to the kid, so-and-so this, so-and-so that. And I think people need to hear that more because they're not hearing it on our local media. And you guys really elevate the youth in the community and people are like, wow, that's good to hear.
Sections, those student sharing sections are phenomenal.
They are.
They're just fantastic. Although I wish the WIA would let them do the start up the bus and all those kind of chants again. I might get those stories.
Well, you're instigating the whole thing.
Yeah, good job, John. Yeah.
Me an instigator?
You too can be one of these people.
Yeah. Teddy Stefaniak, NBC 26. If you want to be a part of NBC 26 Showdown on 32, actually, but give Teddy a call, 494-2626. Looking for some crew people and always open for sponsorships.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ted.
Thanks, buddy. Go make some more Pilsen.
That's it.
All right.
Will do.
We're going to set a quick break. Back after this.
We can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove.
Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
It's every week.
We're just talking about how every person that comes in our studio is cooler than us.
Makes us feel like we haven't done much in life.
Nothing.
And we'll get to you in just a second. First, though.
Segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. How do you say welcome to your guests? Say it with a new entry door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Say it with color. The possibilities are endless thanks to Pella's custom colors. Say it with class. Pella's premium doors stand out due to their distinguished craftsmanship. Say it with a great deal. Get 0% interest for up to 3 years with no money down in equal payments. Hurry. Offer ends 8/31. Certain restrictions apply. Visit PellaWI.com.
Love them. The other thing we love, the outdoors, you are amazing.
Thank you.
Next guest.
But let's talk about our guest here.
Oh, my God. I wasn't even looking. See, you can't see it. I wasn't even looking at John, was I? I was looking at you, Jack. Jack Gage, who put together a program called Patriot Racing Project. And while it sounds great that you're out on the water sailing, learning all the X's and O's of sailing, there's a bigger mission behind it.
Well, yeah, give your background a little bit.
Why is this so important?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so my background is I spent 5.5 years in the Marine Corps. After getting done with my time in service, honorable discharge, I went to law enforcement. I did law enforcement in Florida for 2 years. Recently moved back home here to Wisconsin and had this
idea.
You're
a DePere boy?
Yep, I am. East of Pierre. Yep, and moved back home and had the idea to start this project to help out the people that are like myself.
And the camaraderie that you talk a little bit more about the clientele that you help and that promote your project.
Well, the idea is that it's not for any specific group of veterans. It's veterans as a whole. And the idea being is that nobody understands the veteran experience better than a fellow veteran. So with the idea being that we put these folks back together on a classic sailing vessel, the idea is that they'll get back into that teamworking environment that they all are very familiar with and very comfortable with from their time in the military.
That's awesome.
And they have such mutual respect for each other right off the bat.
That's right.
You know, it's not like you got to, oh, this guy was a Marine. We had a friend of ours on here, Jim O'Neill, who had done a couple deployments, maybe three. Anyway, and they did something with kayaking or canoeing, I guess. And they went down the
Mississippi,
just took different disciplines of, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. And they just really building back that camaraderie that you so, I don't know if you miss it or if it's just something that's part of your DNA that you need to have, but it can lead to very good things because some people are a little on edge right now and there's a lot of suicide in that industry.
That's true. A good friend of mine, Jake from DC Farm for Vets, has a very interesting statistic he brings up every time he talks, how he talks about how it used to be 22 veterans a day committing suicide, and that number has since declined, large part due to veterans starting small veteran organizations for each other, just so that they each have somebody to confide in.
Some support.
Support amongst
the... worst thing, the guys that I know, and I've lost some friends that way, the worst thing is when they fake it, and they won't open up to anybody about what's really bothering them. That's a black hole.
Yeah.
And with you guys, you get them out, the camaraderie, the teamwork, because this is the type of thing, it's not a one-man show. They all have to work together. That's just perfect, I would think, as a bonding experience, and showing that there's guys there that have your, as they say, have their six.
Yep, exactly. I mean, having them out on the boat, and especially like you say, like they got darkness inside of them.
Right.
Even if they don't want to talk or anything like that, maybe just listening to the other folks talk and mention their experiences, maybe they'll feel that they're not alone in this fight.
Well, what about somebody that's like Jim and I have never, you never sailed, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Where did you sail? Did you have a sailboat when you were a kid?
No, I didn't. I did not have a sailboat. He teases me.
Maybe because he had a Shetland pony, he had a motorbike, he had a pool table.
Welcome, Jack.
It's unbelievable.
Thank you for coming on our show, Jack.
But Jack, somebody like myself, if I was, you know, qualified to do this, I've never been on a sailboat before. What can I possibly do?
Well, being out there, it's actually not as hard as a lot of people think.
Okay.
The concept of sailing obviously has existed for thousands of years. So actually, it's not anything new to most people. The whole point of this is actually that we're working as a team. So we kind of will, when the veteran comes on board, we'll gauge that their skill level or their level of dexterity and things of that nature, and we'll assign them a position on the boat accordingly. One of the big things that we want to do is sail on classic or older style boats, not just because they're
cool,
pretty to look at and a symbol of pride and tradition and things like that, but it's also because they require a little bit more manhandling. So the boat has several different positions that each veteran can participate in. Say,
does anybody actually have to climb to the top of this, of the mast?
No. That's
so you got the ropes.
Yep, I've done that myself in the past. And
have you climbed up one of those?
It was a while ago, and yeah, it was. It's quite the experience when the boat's pitching and tossing.
Unbelievable! I would never do that.
I did it on land when we had the tall ships here. In Green Bay, we'd feature that every 4 years.
Those were cool.
Those were very cool.
Those were fun.
I climbed up, put the city flag up there one time, which is cool. But that's high up.
It's way up there.
But we've gone out, and they do a lot of these sailing excursions. It's work, though. And somebody's got to be in charge.
Yeah, it is. It is a working experience, and somebody being in charge is
that's like key. I mean, that is like key in sailing.
Yeah.
Does one guy make all the decisions, like?
Well, not necessarily. Usually, there'll be a captain on board who's making all the final decisions.
He'd be like, lower the boom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, essentially. But
I'd be good at that.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the captain can't always see everything that's going on. They have final say because that's the designation of authority. But if somebody sees something a little bit more opportunistic, we'll let them make that call.
Do you have a little kitchen downstairs and bunks? Do you do overnights, or is it a one day, or what kind of excursions do you guys have? And is it all here in Green Bay? Or,
well, we're actually going to be operating, we're having another vessel donated to us very soon here. That vessel is going to be operating here in Green Bay and going to be sailing with the Windjammers Club in Suamico.
Yeah.
We have another vessel that were donated some time ago last year in August, and we've been restoring it for the last year now. She's almost ready to put in the water. Fingers crossed. We'll see if that materializes.
And people are donating these boats to you. That's awesome.
Oh, yep.
Is the same hold true for the restoration? Do you bring veteran friends in to do that?
As many as we can,
Nice.
I've actually had some friends come by who have very significant skills. An older gentleman who's on my board of directors, very talented diesel mechanic, named Gary DeGrief. And he actually has brought our engine back to life, a 1950s Waukesha diesel.
So they have engines in them too?
They do.
I didn't know that.
You need a little bit of auxiliary to get off the dock. What if the
wind wasn't there? Right.
Yeah.
Need to get off the dock. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why they have
an engine. I thought it'd be like Tommy Boy, where the kid just sits on his sailboat waiting for the wind.
That does happen a lot.
Does it really?
Do they, I want to ask you a little bit more about this. So you get out and you're sailing. Do you just cut the sails and just sit around and time for conversation, or is that just happen spontaneously?
It happens in the moment, particularly when they're working together. I can't say that, yeah, you'll have a whole lot of time to chit-chat about previous experiences or whatnot, but it encourages you to trust the guy that you're next, or guy or gal that you're next to. And once, I guess you could say, the day is said and done and we're having a little bit of a victory lap to go home, that's when the conversation would
happen. Now, you call it Patriot Racing Project. Do you guys actually race?
That's what the program's about, yeah. Racing with Windjammers in Green Bay. We also want to be able to do distance races in the future, particularly like the Chicago Mackinac race.
Oh, wow.
And that's cool.
The Hook Race, Queen's Cup, a lot of these things.
That's
that are
big
here
time
the lakes.
Stuff.
Yeah.
That's the idea, yep.
You could do the one that goes from one end of Lake Superior all the way to the other end?
Yeah, they call it the Superior Offshore Series, I think. And yeah. I have ambitions to do that, but I'll let you know when we get that.
Wow. I mean, this is big time stuff. This isn't just let's go and paddle around Shawano Lake or something here. This is, you're serious with this.
Well, I would believe so.
Very cool. Very cool. Hey, I just got to ask you before we went on the air, talk about where you were deployed. This is fascinating.
Oh, well, can't really call it a deployment. Actually, the Marine Corps calls it overseas non-deployed, but I was an embassy guard for 3 years. And I was in Sudan, Nicaragua, Panama, Canada, Philippines, Ireland, Bangladesh.
That's unbelievable.
So you're guarding the embassy. Anything you can share with us? Because you must have some pretty big dignitaries that would stop in on occasion.
Well, in Sudan, surprisingly enough, we had two congressmen visit. I, to this day, don't know why they were there, but they were there.
A photo op.
I'm not entirely certain. Let's see here. There's, I was in the same spot as the president a couple of times and, I mean, dignitaries, they come through. I wasn't in Paris I had a couple of friends that are at the embassy in Paris and they said, yeah, every single week, Secretary of State, right. Admiral so-and-so, General so-and-so.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah.
Now would you have to like stand out in the sun and do whatever?
Our primary spot that we sit is in this office, the embassy, we call it Post One, and that's usually where the Marines control all the security systems of the embassy, and we're kind of the visual asset of it.
I bet you had to be spit-shined, huh?
We kind of took to calling ourselves the ambassador's toy soldiers, because we had to look sharp, and out in the sun sometimes, I mean, if you need to, but... It's not
like all day. It's not like you see in England where those guards are out in the.
We're not royal guardsmen. We're there for a reason.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool job though. I mean, you saw the world, and that's nothing's safe, but that's pretty secure. I mean, you're on American soil, right over there. I mean, it's our embassy, so that's a great job. How did you get to be an embassy guard? I think that would be.
I think
cool.
It's cool. Yeah,
me too.
Well.
And just for the record, John and I have accomplished very little in our lives.
Very little.
Basically nothing.
I wouldn't say that. I'm here on your show.
We both talked for a living.
Well, the selection process for an embassy guard is they have these screening teams that go to all the garrison bases throughout the U.S. And they invite Marines to come and take a look. They give this whole spiel about, this is who we are. This is what we do. Then they take people on individually and they screen them, start asking them questions. You got to meet a certain number of requirements. Can't have gotten in trouble at all or anything like that. You can't be married. You can't have kids.
Really?
If you're actually, if you're a younger Marine, what we call a watch stander. Yeah. You have to be single.
Why is that?
Well, because the military doesn't want to send all people's families overseas.
Okay.
The only people who can be married are what we call detachment commanders. So they're usually like staff sergeant and above. And they can bring their families, but they're the one Marine out of the typically 12 to 24 that can actually have their families.
So be honest with me on something, okay? You got all this spit shine, you're a United States Marine, you're overall, you get hit on a lot. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it happens.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Is that
a new question we're going to ask all of our guests?
Yeah. Okay. My question is, do you want to get into politics? That's what I like. I think we need good young men like you or women too to, you know, take it up a notch. Do you ever think about that? What you want to do? You're a young guy.
Please don't say politics.
I was going to say I don't much have a stomach for
politics. Thank you. Thank you.
I barely have a stomach for nonprofit.
I think that's really interesting what you said. Well, we can't if. You know, you're drilled into your head when you interview people, you know, don't ask about their marriage. Don't ask. And you're like, well, you married? You don't qualify. You do that in the private sector or even in government. That would be a red flag. I think that's pretty cool how strict they are. But you guys all abide by that.
So while we wrap it up here, tell us one more time who's invited, how they can get involved, how they're welcomed.
Well, any veteran is more than welcome to come along. You can find out about us on our website at www.patriotracingproject.com. You can sign up there. We also have a Facebook page, just the name, Patriot Racing Project. You can message and you'll reach me directly. And we'll sign you up for races, particularly as soon as we're ready. We are still in the process of throwing our boats in the water. But once they're there, anybody who's veteran is more than welcome to come.
Even if they've never been on a sailboat before in their life.
Even if they've never been on a boat before in their life.
That's fantastic.
Great program.
And again, it's a wonderful program you've got going, but there are so many other people, even like our boy up at DC Farms and all these different things who are quietly working behind the scenes with these veterans and making such an impact. Because that's the guys don't want limelight. They don't want these things that are splashed all over them. They want to be with guys. Everybody else, stay. Not that they're whatever, but it's just those guys. That bonding experience is super important for them to know somebody's got their back if they have a hard time. True?
True.
All right.
That's awesome. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for doing this, Jake.
This is great. And people that, really, that camaraderie is overshadows so everything. It's more important than everything you're doing. But thanks for everything. It's going to be great. And good luck on your races.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your support.
Do me a favor, though. Stay in touch with us, okay?
Yeah. Oh,
Let us know how it's going.
Get into one of those, especially that Mackinac race. When you jump into that one, we'll watch you on that one.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
I bet I could crew. You think I could? No. I could be that guy winding up the thing. You need one of them?
We always need strong bodies.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that knocks him out.
All right. Special guest for you coming up in a minute, Jim. Stay with us.
All right.
Hey, welcome back. Great young man, huh?
Oh, and what he's doing for veterans. And sailing's fun. It's awesome. And, you know, the team building, taking the boat, the sailboat out. But just the conversation they're going to have on the water.
Phenomenal.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, we have a special guest. Hi, Malene.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
Introduce yourself.
Hi, this is Malene from Channel 5, Malene Wells, Local 5 Live. I'm headed over there right now to meeting prep. But this weekend I was at a baseball tournament, and at the concession stand they had some very special cookies.
And where was this?
These are sauerkraut cookies.
Where was this? Where was the baseball tournament?
Kewaunee County. Sugar Bush, to be exact.
So you know what this is?
Mayor, this is Matunky. Here it is.
Man, I've been on a show with him for a year and, 2 months? He's talked about it every day, but this is it.
I don't make it, so someone else did, and I got you some. This looks to be kind of average. Some of it's real thin, some of it's real thick, so this looks to be...
And it's called what again?
Matunky or Mathunky, depending on how you pronounce it. It's from the... Czech heritage.
Mm-hmm. That smells awesome.
It's Cracklin's flour.
Cracklin's, that's right.
Sauerkraut.
And it's pressed and baked.
A little bit of seasoning.
Was this the stuff that you left in your car?
Yes.
I did not leave this in my car.
When she texted me the other day, I said, leave it in your car for the weekend.
I'm just watching his face.
Water. It's unique, isn't it?
That's a good word. Do you dip it in something? A little dry. I mean, is it like some seasoning or?
Most people eat it just like that. I probably would enjoy it more with like a cup of bouillon or some chili.
I put butter on it.
Okay, I could see that.
I was thinking more, horseradish, you know,
sure.
Sauce, mayo.
You can do anything
like something
with it.
To dip it in because it's a little.
I grew up with lefse in my family.
What's that?
It's Norwegian and it's like a potato flour mixture that they roll out real thin, sort of like a tortilla. A lot of people put butter and sugar on that
one. That's what I've put on this. I've put butter and some brown sugar. What do you think, Jim?
Brown sugar and sauerkraut? I'd have to taste that. That doesn't sound that.
I will leave you the bag so you can do
experiment with it. No. You go right ahead, Jim.
It's a little warm in your office today, so by the end of the day, it is going to really
smell
wonderful.
Awesome. Have you noticed it's a little warm? Oh, we are. I literally have sweat running down my forehead.
Can you believe that? Our shirts, we're wearing light-colored shirts, or else you'd see all this.
Yes.
Good thing. Well, enjoy.
That is really good.
I just wanted to drop it
did
off.
Did you make this?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Nope.
Whoever did. Wow. Wow, that's good. I would. No, I'm telling you, I think I could get into that.
Take this home. You
not
take
today.
It home.
No. You all right? No, thank you, John.
Okay.
Well, I gotta go get something to drink. Wow. That's spicy. It's not just sauerkraut. There's something else in there.
Cracklings? What is it called?
Cracklings, which is like pig fat lard. They kind of make like a lard-type base.
Oh, yeah. And that's like, this is, I see my trainer at 10. What'd you have for breakfast, Jim?
Pig lard?
A little pig lard.
The usual pig lard.
That's okay, isn't it?
Fermented foods are all the rage, so I think it's balanced out by the sauerkraut.
There you go. Oh, Malene, thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome.
Malene, you're awesome. Love your show, too. I mean, everybody watches that, but that's just so great how you really lean local, and I love your off-site shows. I think those are really, really
Jeff,
special.
You know who was there? When I was there the other day, when I co-hosted, the lady that won a couple of whammies, she's an unbelievable...
Erin Krebs.
Oh, my Lord. She performed there that night, but she could do, like, musical instruments with her mouth.
Oh, yeah, that's always cool.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And good news, they rescheduled the concert at the Botanical Garden, so you actually still have a chance to see it because there was severe weather projected, so they pushed it off to later this month. So
right. I could not believe the sound coming out of this lady's mouth. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Based on the sauerkraut crackers, we'll be waiting for some sounds to come out of the marrow.
You're
going to
hear
later.
It pretty soon. We'll excuse you,
Malene,
before the sounds start.
Always a pleasure having you in here.
Good to see you guys.
Tell Lisa we said hello.
We will.
All right. Malene Wells. Channel 5.
Wow. Yes. John, you can have that.
Well, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah,
but now you know, because I've talked about it so many times, and you're always like, I never heard of it. I don't know what that is. Yeah.
And I...
Yeah.
Did your mom make that?
No.
Why do you know so much about it?
Because it's Kiwani football game.
Oh, I see. And they'd bring it up to your booth. Okay.
But, Malene's... See, this is good. This is really good. From a time... This is really good. A little bit... Got a little bit of that sour...
That's okay. That's exactly what you have something to drink. I'm out of coffee, man. I gotta go grab some.
I'll bring you a water.
Did you try it, Todd?
No, I did.
You got to try it. Okay?
I don't know.
Come on, you got to try it.
Let's choke Todd next.
I think you there's a certain way to eat it, even.
Yeah,
so it doesn't
hit
you that way. I don't think we're doing it right.
That's why I think it needs some kind of dipping sauce.
Yeah,
it's something.
I agree.
I could come up with something that would be good with that, but not a little early. Wow. No, I'll pass.
So that's Matanke. I don't think it's Czech, though. I think it's Belgium.
I looked it up.
Sauerkraut would, yeah.
It's spelled Methunky.
Okay.
And it says that it's a Czech sauerkraut.
Oh,
cookie.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
But you don't, like, order that ever.
I've never seen it in a restaurant or anything. I think it's just something it's passed down generations after generation.
Matanke.
But there they sell it at the baseball games.
They sell it at the games?
That's where she got this from, at the Little League game.
I thought some lady brought this for you.
No.
They sell this at the game?
Yes.
So kids go up there and people and say, look,
buy a bag of Matanke.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now that.
Yeah. I feel proud of myself because you know so much about the food. I introduced you to a new food group.
You did.
You'd think it'd be good for you, too. I mean, sauerkraut's really good for you, and pig lard is good for you.
Yeah, oh, John. No, I think... Okay, well, we'll give that away to our next guest. Who's coming up next? All right,
Joe. He just left. Joe just walked out the door.
Well, Brian's coming in, right? Small business spotlight. So, and he's got a brewery. I bet you this is good with beer.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
The sauerkraut...
Yep.
A little salty.
Yep. Like even a darker beer.
Right. And it's got, it makes you, well, have to drink something.
It's got a
so
lot of
talk.
Different flavors in one bite.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I can't believe they sell it at the game. Like, how much would this bag cost? Like, is this like a
couple of bucks maybe?
No, it's all right.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And you get a lot with it. Yeah.
You know what I would do with that?
What?
It's kind of like flat. It's flat. But I would roll it out and then I would, roll it around a hot dog.
Ah, I could see that too.
Because that's good.
Yeah.
Because it's got the bread, the sauerkraut.
You're right.
And I would dip it in ketchup.
I think that's a good call.
Yeah.
Or else, what kind of meat would be good? Head cheese. Your dad ever make head cheese?
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah, it'd be all right.
That way you're getting all those swine, every piece
you're
of the swine.
The whole, you're getting the whole pig.
You're getting the whole thing.
And the person eating it.
Yes. But so. You are coming to our cholesterol fest on the 14th. Everybody at that party was at yesterday, is the mayor coming? You got to come to that. Like I said, we'll pick you up in Wolfie's 1952 Chevy. Okay. All right?
I'll write it down.
Okay, write it down. You're coming to that. It's deep fried pork belly.
John, I got this diet. I'm serious about this diet.
This is not fattening.
I'm serious. I lost a pound, and I'm going to keep
that pound. This part is not fattening.
I told my wife, I said, you will never see me this heavy again. I'm in. I'm in on this weight loss thing. If that lady can lose 200 pounds, I can lose 25. You know what I mean? But I mean, I'm not going to walk 10 miles.
You're not going to lose 25.
Okay, yeah, I am.
You're not.
Let's get, okay.
All right. $100 bet.
Oh, John, Todd?
Yes?
He's going to give me $100 if I lose 25 pounds by
Christmas.
All right.
By the 25th.
Deal.
All right.
25th.
You're on. That's Christmas.
That's awesome.
Back after this.
I'm all in.